يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة فاسعوا إلى ذكر الله.
اللهم رب هذه الدار.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. In the 17th year of Hijrah, when Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anh was the Khalifa of the Muslimin, there were two people that were involved in a court case in which one person claimed that the other person owed him some money and was not paying him back in time. So there was some dispute as to the payment and the time of payment. The first individual said that this person who took money from me was supposed to pay me back by Sha'ban and it's already Ramadan. And the one that was lent money said that what was meant by this was next Sha'ban, not this Sha'ban. This was the first incident in this particular year, which is important in the discussion of today's khutbah. The second incident which happened in the exact same year was Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, one of the companions of al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was made a governor of the Muslimin. He was in charge of a particular region of Muslims. And those Muslims would receive certain instructions from the Khalifa, from Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu and others. But he used to mention that يَأْتِينَا كُتُبٌ لَيْسَ لَهَا تَارِيخ. There are books that are coming to us and there's no date on them. We don't know if you want these things to be done this year or the next year. And when these two incidents happen in the same year, at this point the Muslims realize the necessity to establish their own calendar. And this is the introduction or the start of when the Hijri calendar was introduced into this ummah. This was not something known in the time of al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but rather it was implemented later on. And as we know, we find ourselves right now in the year 1445, in the first month of this particular year as well. Prior to this point, they had a very rudimentary system by which they used to calculate time, because obviously a person needs to try and calculate years. And the manner in which they used to calculate years was that they would look for a particular important event in a year, and that year would be named by that particular incident. As an example, Amul Fil, the year of the elephant. As an example, Amul Huzn, the year of grief. The year of elephant, as we know, is the year that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born in. And when there was a particular incident or year in which no significant occurrence happened, they would say, for example, 5 years prior to Amul Fil, or 3 years after it, or something to that effect, they would mark their time by these particular incidents. In this particular year, the 17th year of Hijrah, when they got together, they had a discussion, the senior from among the Sahaba, among them Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anh as the leader, among them Ali radiallahu anh as well, also among them, and many of the other leadership or the senior among the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They got together and they said that we need to establish a calendar. And they said that what are ways by which we can establish this calendar? And there were certain opinions. One of them, they said that let's make it such that we adopt the calendar of the Romans or the Persians. And this position was initially rejected. And the reason for this is very important as well. And that is the fact that as Muslimin, we have our own identity. And they did not want to take and adopt those particular calendars. We as Muslims have our own unique identity. And we need to understand this, that as a great civilization, we have our own identity, and sometimes it's something which is lost, especially when people move or are born in this country. The other opinions which floated around among the Sahaba, some of them they said that we should mark the date or the Hijrah year by the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another opinion was when Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, the first verses came down, it should start there. And another opinion was the fact that let's mark it by the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the fourth opinion, which is the one that we know which was adopted, is from the Hijrah of An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The first and second positions were rejected for certain reasons. And that was because the exact date is not known as to exactly when An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born, and also exactly when Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq came down. There was some ambiguity there. As for his death, the Muslims didn't want to make it such that the new year begins at a moment of sorrow, at a moment of grief when we lost An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he departed from this world. Thereafter, they adopted the position, it was actually the opinion of Ali radiallahu anh initially, that let us adopt the position to make the hijrah start from the actual hijrah of An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anh, he heard this, he said that al-hijrah ma farraqat bayn al-haq wal-batil. Al-hijrah farraqat bayn al-haq wal-batil fa'arrikhu biha. That the hijrah is the moment by which truth and falsehood were separated. That at a point previous to the hijrah, that point, Muslims were in a state of, let's say, humiliation or subjugation or oppression. And after this, they gained a certain sense of honor. So he said, فَأَرِّخُوا بِهَا, mark that point from when the Muslims will mark their calendars. And now there's a number of things that a person could extrapolate from this. One of them is the fact that Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anh was involved in this particular incident, and also Ali radiallahu anh as well was the one that suggested this. And this is a reminder for those individuals or those people that might have a certain idea between these two individuals and a sense of hatred they may have had or allegedly had between them. That Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anh and Ali radiallahu anh, they worked together and they were both companions of An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they were both instrumental in the Hijri calendar. Also, some of the later scholars actually said that this decision is from the Quran, is actually Quranic. And one of the proofs that they used is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that one of the proofs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses in the Quran, or one proof that you could say it's that this notion is from the Quran, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the masjid ussisa ala taqwa min awwal yawmin ahaq an taquma fi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in Surah At-Tawbah. And the later scholars, they say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this verse that the masjid that was established from the first day, meaning Masjid Quba, there's a long story behind this. Abu Amir al-Rahib, who when before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the city of Medina Munawwara, used to be famous, and the people used to learn traditions from him about the Christian and other sources. When An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, he became jealous that the Aus and Khazraj tribes were now instead listening to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he made his own masjid known as Masjid Dirar. It's mentioned in the Quran. So this is a reference to this. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "La masjidun ussisa ala taqwa min awwal yawmin ahaqqu an taquma fi." That masjid that was established on the first day. And this also goes to show that, again, later scholars said, this was Quranic idea that the first day should start at the hijrah of An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nonetheless, the point being here is that also Umar al-Khattab was involved in this. And there are many incidents in which the opinion of Umar al-Khattab agreed with that of the Quran. He wanted hijab to come down, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed ayat of hijab. He wanted alcohol to become forbidden, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed those verses as well. He wanted Maqam Ibrahim for those people that have gone for Hajj and Umrah to be taken as a place of prayer, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah, وَاتَّخِذُ مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. So this was the way by which the Hijri calendar was established. Now as for the month of Muharram itself being the first month, there is also some discussion as to this as well, because they had one month going into the other and there was no actual start. And there were some ideas floating that Ramadan should actually be the first month. But there were other opinions, and there's a reason by which Muharram actually won out. And by the way, one of the things that the mushrikeen used to do is that there are certain months that are sacred in which fighting is prohibited. And what they would do to circumvent this is that they would say right now, for example, it's one of these non-sacred months, and the next month is going to be sacred, let's switch around the calendar. So they used to play with the calendars in this particular way, and the Sharia of Islam actually made this prohibited. When it came to Muharram itself, why it was chosen, there were two main reasons. One of them is the fact that the Bay'atul Aqabat al-Thaniya, the second pledge of allegiance by the Ansar, happened in the month of Dhul-Hijjah. And the next month is obviously Muharram now. So they decided to make it such that this is the first month because the new year is now starting from the hijrah of An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the second opinion is that when a person goes for Hajj, it is as though they are reborn. And when the month of Muharram occurs, then it is almost like a rebirth. حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. As Muslims, take account of yourself before you are taken account of. And this was why this particular, two reasons why Muharram was chosen, in fact, as the first month. We also know that in Dhul-Hijjah, for the day of Arafah, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, يُكَفِّرُ السَّنَةَ الْمَاضِيَةَ وَالْبَاقِيَةَ. It expiates the year previous and the year coming. Meaning that if you fasted the day of Arafah in the year 2022, 2021, and 2023 you would have had forgiven. And likewise, now you start the new year with fasting. Inshallah, many of us are fasting today as well. The day of Ashura, and yukaffiru al-sanat al-maldiya, it will expiate the sins of 2022. So you have 2021, 2022, and 2023, or in the Hijri calendar, 1445, 1444, and 1443 forgiven. So this is the history of the Hijrah calendar. It was actually introduced in the Khilafah of Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Now, there is a certain idea or a principle behind the Hijrah, that there are actually many lessons a person can derive from it. There are over 100 lessons a person could derive from the Hijrah of An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In today's khutbah, we'll mention simply three of them. The first thing to understand is, what does the word Hijrah mean? The words in the Arabic language have a lughawi meaning and an istilahi meaning. They have an etymological or linguistic meaning and also a technical definition as well. And the linguistic meaning of the word Hijrah, or the etymologic meaning, is taken from ma'khudatun min al-hajr wa huwa at-tark. That is taken from the word hajr, which means to abandon or to leave. And the istilahi or technical definition is al-intiqal min balad al-shirk ila balad al-islam. It is the movement of a person or abandoning of a person from the land of shirk to the land of Islam. Now, there are a number of lessons a person can derive from the hijrah. Again, we'll mention three of them. The first of which is to become a muhajir yourself. And now a person might have the perception when you hear this that being a muhajir means to leave the place of disbelief and go to the place of Islam. And this is not what is actually meant by this. Because when you look at the life of An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when did he make hijrah? He did not make hijrah when there was fahisha around him. He made hijrah when there was oppression around him. That is something that we need to understand. Sometimes as Muslims, we have this idealistic notion that we want to leave this place and go to a place which is only pure and only full of Islam. Now, this is something which could be potentially good for you and your children. But you need to understand that when it comes to certain ideas, they are actually more Islamic here than there. That is one idea or one angle that we sometimes forget. There are many Muslim countries, unfortunately, that are more racist than non-Muslim ones, including where we are living. There are many Muslim countries that have more corruption and bribery than perhaps some countries that we are living, like we are living in right now. And there are also some countries in which a person, if they have a beard, which is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a person would be thrown in jail for doing this or even holding the Quran. So that is one perspective that we need to understand. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, when he mentions the command of hijrah for people in general, what is the context that he says it in? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ ظَالِمِ أَنفُسِهِمْ قَالُوا فِيمَا كُنْتُمْ قَالُوا كُنَّا مُسْتَضْعَفِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً فَتُهَاجِرُوا فِيهَا. In these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions hijrah. And he mentions the reason why people should make hijrah. He says in it that when the angels take a person's soul, and the person that has oppressed themselves, they will ask this individual, what is your status, or what is your condition? And this person would say that I was one that was oppressed in the land. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the angels will say to them, was the earth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not vast for you to migrate therein? And here the reason for hijrah is not one of fahisha, but rather it is one of oppression taking place. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he lived in a society in which there was indecency. People were making tawaf around the Kaaba naked. There were people committing zina and open burying their daughters alive and all of these things. But he did not make hijrah. He stayed there because of the fact that he has the responsibility of conveying the message of Islam. And to this point as well, is that just this week, there were two brothers that were simply praying their prayers in the YMCA. And a sister saw them doing this and became Muslim on account of this. That we are shuhada'a 'ala nas. And if you don't live among non-Muslims, how would da'wah ever take place? This would be impossible. Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, they traveled to areas which were not Muslim for the purpose of da'wah. Now when it comes to how a person can actually be a muhajir, how do you actually therefore then become a muhajir? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he mentions this in a hadith and he uses the lughawi translation of this word to give us the solution to this. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he says, Al-muhajir man hajara ma naha Allahu an. A muhajir is one who makes hijrah, who abandons that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade him from doing. So if you are a person that is earning haram, your hijrah would be to go to earning halal. If a person has a haram relationship, your hijrah is to make or go into a situation in which you abandon this and go only towards halal relationships. If a person has bad friends, your hijrah is to make hijrah from those friends and go to those friends which are better. If you're a person that has bad character, your hijrah means to make abandonment of that character and go to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Al-muhajir man hajara ma naha Allahu an. That is the way that you become a muhajir in today's time. And again, there are many lessons from the hijrah. This is one of them. Become a muhajir yourself. The second lesson we'll mention in today's khutbah that a person could derive from the hijrah of an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the lesson of optimism. For a lot of people, when negativity comes into their life, they lost their money, they lost family members, they might have something happen to their relationship, or anything else of their health, or anything pertaining to this world, they sometimes become angry at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they go down a path of pessimism. When you look at the hijrah of an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not give up. In that moment, he used to say, "The other rajulan yahmiluni ila qawmihi, fa inna Quraishan qad mana'uni an ubaligha kalam Rabbi." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the time of Hajj would ask the people around him, "That isn't there some people that can take me to their place because the Quraysh are now preventing me from conveying the message of my Lord?" And in this incident, we also know in the hijrah of an-Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was with him, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu an, also a counter to those that on this day attacked the two greatest individuals from among the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. But nonetheless, who was with him? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And we see that in this journey, in the famous story in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq are in the cave of Thawr, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions and references this in the Quran, and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he looks down and he says that, "Ya Rasulullah, if the mushrikeen simply look at their feet, they are going to see us." What is the response of an-Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He says, "Ma dhannaka ya Aba Bakr bi-ithnani Allahu thalithuma." He did not give up, but rather he gave him words of encouragement. What do you think, Abu Bakr, about two people and Allah is the third? "La tahzan inna Allah ma'ana." Do not grieve, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. Many of us might also be fasting this day of Ashura. And Islam holistically is a religion of optimism. When we look at this day, what is the reason that we fast? It's mentioned in a hadith that when the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to the city of Madinat Munawwara, he saw the Jewish people fasting on this day, and he asked that, "Why are we fasting on this day?" They said, "This is the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Musa alayhi salam from Fir'aun," and thereafter the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, "Nahnu awla bi Musa minhum." We are more entitled to Musa than them. And from this we see that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions that when the ashab of Musa are in that situation, that in front of them is the Red Sea and behind them is the army of Fir'aun, they say, "Inna lamudrakun." It's over for us, we don't know what we're going to do. What is the principle of Islam? Kalla inna ma'ya rabbi sayahdeen. Musa alayhi salam, he says, "No, with us is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will find a way out for us." And this is one of the lessons that we take away from the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he went to Madinah to Munawwara years later, in the sixth year of hijrah, when they are turned back from Mecca to Mukarramah in the incident of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, they're not allowed to perform their umrah. And they are going back in a state of defeat and distress. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals certain ayat in the Quran that Allah subhanahu that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, "Ahabbu ilayya mimma tala'at alayhi shams," that they are more beloved to me than everything that the sun has shining that has shone upon. And those are the verses in the Quran wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. We will grant you, O Muhammad, a manifest victory. By the way, this ayah was revealed in the 6th year of Hijrah. Fath Makkah did not occur until the 8th year. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the past tense as well. This shows us a number of things. One is that tense does not apply to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two is a prediction of the truth of the Quran, because if this did not happen, this would have disproved the Quran as well. But nonetheless, we see here the Prophet ﷺ was one that exhibit traits of optimism, and that is part and parcel of what it means to be a Muslim and what we take away from the hijrah of an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. The third and final point we'll mention in today's khutbah in regards to what we can derive from the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that you will not attain anything except through sacrifice. You will not attain anything in this dunya or the akhirah without sacrifice. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved Makkah al-Mukarramah. In fact, he did not want to leave it. It's mentioned that he used to say that ما أطيبك من بلد وما أحبك إليه ولولا أن قومي أخرجوني منك ما سكنت غيرك. The how beloved are you to me as a city? How pleasing and pleasant are you? If it was not for the fact that my people drove me out, I never would have lived anywhere else. And despite this fact, he made that sacrifice. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us a promise. It's mentioned in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad that إِنَّكَ لَن تَدَعَ شَيْئًا لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ إِلَّا بَدَّلَكَ بِهِ مَا هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِنْ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not, if a person leaves something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will not do anything except replace it with something which is better than it. And an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, leaving the city of Makkah to Mukarramah, he made that sacrifice. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replace it with? He replaced it with the Ansar. To the point that in the Battle of Hunayn, when an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there in the conquest of Ta'if, in that particular region, and the Muhajirun were being given some spoils of war, and other people were giving spoils of war as well, and the Ansar, they started to complain. And they said that, we came with you, and whatever you want us to do, we are doing. We are your helpers. And you are giving all of the spoils of war to the Muhajirun and other people. What about us? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, that is it not enough that we are giving some of these things to open up people's hearts towards Islam? And also, is it not enough that they are going back with sheep and with camels, and you are going back with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And he chose to, as we know, pass away in the city of Medina Munawwara. There's no person that makes a sacrifice except that they will benefit in this life and the akhirah. There's no person that makes a sacrifice except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace that sacrifice with something which is even better than it. And if a person wants to succeed in this life, you need to make that sacrifice. If you want to become a hafidh of the Quran, sometimes you look at a person that has mastered the recitation and you wish to be like them. You would wish to spend $2 million or $5 million to have the Quran that person has. But you cannot buy it. It is something which is only earned through sacrifice of waking up every day, reciting the Quran even when you don't want to. And eventually that person masters the recitation of the Quran. Sometimes you might struggle with your children, but if a person needs to make a sacrifice for their children to succeed. Sometimes you want to make a lot of money and you end up sacrificing your own children and not spending time with them, and later on you wonder, why is it that they don't want to come to the masjid? Why is it that they have bad habits? Why do they not love Islam? You did not make that sacrifice. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. The one that makes mujahada, the one that strives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be with him and open up pathways for him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those that loves to do good. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those that learns the lessons from the hijrah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those that becomes a true muhajir by leaving that which he dislikes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us Muslimin who are people of optimism. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those that are able to make sacrifices so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give us better in this life and in the akhirah for his sake as well. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لمن لكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات فاستغفروا إنه الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي أرسل نبيه برسالات وأيده بالمعجزات رب الأرض رب السماوات أحمده أبلغ حمد وأكمله وأزكاه وأشمله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله الواحد الغفار وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى المختار صلى الله وسلم عليه وزاده فضلا وشرفا لديه. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أوصيكم أولا بتقوى الله فقد فاز المتقون. إن الله ملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد. محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين اللهم اغفر المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم الأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله فيما يذكركم واشكروه على ما يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون من الصلاة